everyone. We're here today with my good friend Liz Johnson.
Hello.
So Liz is a friend from college, actually. We took German classes together in college
and lived in Berlin at the same time.
Yeah. Today we're going to be talking about Halloween. We'll kind of hear about Liz's experience with Halloween as a child in comparison to mine. And then we'll talk about Halloween in general, just what sorts of activities we do, what are sort of the cultural aspects of it. And yeah, see where this takes us.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So let's start off with a brief introduction of the history of Halloween. And we'll take turns kind of reading these facts about Halloween that we have here. So, of course, as you probably know, Halloween is celebrated on the 31st of October every year, and it's celebrated in most of the Western world.
So Halloween also has many other names, but the most common one is All Hallows Eve.
We can trace Halloween back to the Celtic festival of Samhain. And it was brought to the United States, actually, by Irish and Scottish immigrants in the 19th century.
So the Festival of Samhain was made to celebrate harvest time. So the end of harvest and the end of summer. Samhain actually comes from the old Irish word for summer's end. And it was thought that spirits and fairies were particularly active around this time of the year.
So it was a time of feasting. Families would come together and have big meals, and they would celebrate deceased family members or relatives. It was also a time when spirits came back.
Because the spirits are back and some of them aren't so nice, they're evil. Some people would dress up in costumes to disguise themselves from these spirits. And they didn't just dress up in costumes, but they also carried around carved turnips. Mm-hmm. To distract these evil spirits.
So a turnip is sort of a root vegetable,
yeah.
Right?
It almost looks like a carrot, but is more bulbous on the top and
yeah.
is white.
Yeah, so it's somewhat different from the pumpkins that we carve today. At this period of time, people also left offerings outside of their houses for some of these spirits. Some of these offerings were soul cakes. And over time, this developed into trick-or-treating, where people would come to the front door and say trick-or-treat and ask for some sort of, you know, dessert. So that's it, I think, for the history of Halloween.
A very brief history of some of the origins of Halloween, mm-hmm. though there are many others, and I found them really interesting to learn about personally.
So let's go ahead and start talking about our experience with Halloween, or our experiences, I should say, because I'm not sure if they're actually similar. We haven't fully discussed this yet. So we'll start by actually talking about what leads up to Halloween, what sorts of events and activities you do before the 31st of October. And then we'll talk a little bit, I guess, about what you do on Halloween Day. Yeah.
So the preparations for Halloween, they seem to be getting earlier and earlier lately.
So true.
I know that Starbucks came out with their pumpkin spice latte in August this year.
Oh, really?
So
the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning leading up where it starts to feel like Halloween, definitely like mid-September, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We can agree on.
Yeah.
I mean, that starts to feel a little early. We even went to a pumpkin patch yesterday.
Oh, yeah,
and it felt too early.
Yeah, it was too early. What is a pumpkin patch exactly for the people that are listening?
So a pumpkin patch, it's a field, a farmer's field, mm-hmm. where they grow pumpkins and different gourds. And then you can go there to buy pumpkins. But also now, because Halloween is this like full activities and all of fall, so a lot of pumpkin patches offer other activities mm-hmm. as well, besides just buying pumpkins.
Right. So the pumpkin patch is just the general area where you can do a lot of these activities with the farm attached to it. So yesterday we actually saw there was a corn maze,
mm-hmm.
Which is actually $6 to go through, which I was kind of bummed about. But a corn maze they're pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, for people listening, a maze is just, it's like a puzzle that you actually get to experience firsthand. So when you're walking through a maze, you hit a lot of dead ends where you can't walk any further, and you have to find your way out of the maze by walking through pathways that in this case are made with corn. So
yeah, there are different types of corn mazes as well. Like in The Shining, Jack Nicholson is chasing the main actress through like topiaries.
What's a topiary?
A topiary Liz. Is a carved bush into different shapes.
Yeah.
Other activities are hay rides. Mm-hmm. So this is where you sit on a trailer attached to like a farmer's tractor or truck or something like that. And you go through usually the farmer's fields and they'll show you different things on their property. And you sit on hay bales, and hay is like what horses eat.
Yeah. It's like straw. I think they're synonymous, right?
It was, yeah.
It's hay and straw.
As far as I know.
Yeah. And so usually kids go on hay rides. You don't usually see a bunch of teenagers hanging out on the back of the trailer. But usually the kids also dress up.
Yeah. If you're young, you tend to not just dress up on Halloween.
Yes.
You dress up for all of Halloween and fall. There's usually a station where you can carve your pumpkin. Mm-hmm. So you pick it out from the field or the display, and then you can bring it over and have some assistance with carving the pumpkin to make it into a jack-o'-lantern.
Right. And we actually just went through this in another episode, in episode number 29, to carve in stone. And as you heard before, to carve means to cut into something to get an intended result. We also carve pumpkins. That just means to cut a specific design or a face into it. Right, to create a jack-o'-lantern.
How are you with carving pumpkins?
I love carving pumpkins.
Do you save the seeds?
Of course. Always. I actually, it's something that I look forward to every year. And for the past 8 years, I haven't really lived in the United States.
No.
And so I didn't really have the opportunity to make a jack-o'-lantern. And so it's something that I'm really looking forward to this year.
Mm-hmm. Especially with your daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
although I don't think I'll give her a knife.
No.
It's a death wish. But what about you?
I love doing it. We always used to, I have an older sister, and so we would take our pumpkin, we'd each get one, and draw whatever we wanted on it. And then my dad would use the knife to do his best to make it into the shape that we had drawn on the pumpkin.
Because oh, that's nice.
Likewise, we were not trusted with knives as children.
How old were you? 12.
I'd say up until like 12.
Oh, no. But they have better knives for carving that are like kid-friendly knives.
They do. They do. Yeah. But yeah, I think there was still hesitance of giving a child a knife.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. And the next thing, we had bobbing for apples. Bobbing for apples, kind of a very weird activity. Actually, we've done it at a few of my family parties before, strangely enough. But to bob, it kind of means to move up and down in water, right? So if you have something that's somewhat buoyant, something that's able to float, then it can bob. It goes up and down. And so what is bobbing for apples?
So you usually have a big container, something like a cooler or like just a big trough, like something like animals eat food or water out of. You fill it up with water and then you put apples in it, and apples sort of half float on the top, so they bob, and you tie your hands behind your back and you try to use your mouth to bite one of the apples bobbing, and I think you win by doing it in the least amount of time. So you like kind of shove your face in the water over and over
again. So what's the ultimate goal?
I think to do it quickly.
To get the apples
to
out,
get the apple
right?
Out.
To bite them and take them out. Yeah, it's a very weird activity. Have you ever bobbed for apples?
I did at a birthday party one time, and I was not a big fan.
Yeah. It would actually be funny to do nowadays.
Yeah.
Especially with women wearing makeup.
Yeah.
Exactly. To come out with their mascara and eyeliner running.
I think you would have to give people a lot of things to drink to make them try this activity with a full face of makeup.
Yeah. Or give them a heads up beforehand to wear waterproof. Okay. All right. So that's a pumpkin patch. Those are some of the activities there. So this is also, remember, once again, leading up to Halloween. So we're not on Halloween day yet. Then, of course, there's horror movies or Halloween movies. You watched a lot of Halloween movies growing up, didn't you?
Yeah. I tend to like the lighter, not so scary ones, ones that are maybe kind of funny, with a little drama, something like Hocus Pocus.
I love Hocus Pocus.
Yes. That is, if you're in the United States and you mention Hocus Pocus, I think
everybody
has a good opinion of that movie. It's very fun. Yeah. And it has big stars in it. There's Sarah Jessica Parker and Bette Midler.
Yeah.
So
true.
It's a big movie here.
Yeah. And what other movies did you enjoy watching?
I liked The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. That was always on
so
TV growing up, leading up to Halloween.
And what about The Nightmare Before Christmas?
I liked that one.
Yeah.
This
is Halloween. This is Halloween.
Although it has Christmas in the title, it's definitely a Halloween movie.
Yeah, it's spooky.
Yeah.
It's frightening. Addams Family is another good one. With Wednesday Addams and Lurch and, oh, I loved that one
too. And
those
are big costumes to wear as well.
Yeah, that's true. People paint their faces white, maybe paint black, I don't know, circles around their eyes to look like they're somewhat dead. They've got a zombie look going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beetlejuice was another good one. And then I think in college we had some Alfred Hitchcock weekends before Halloween where we would watch all of the Alfred Hitchcock movies, like Psycho and
Rear Window.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you're having these movie nights, it's big to have hot apple cider.
For sure. Good point. Yeah.
And caramel apples.
Mm-hmm. So is hot apple cider alcoholic for the listeners?
It can be, but usually not. It's just like a mulled cider, apple juice with spices.
Yeah. So, and then you said caramel apples?
Yeah.
Yeah. Caramel apples. Oh, one of my favorites.
Lots and lots of candy.
And just also another thing, I pronounce it caramel also. Have you heard people say caramel?
I have.
Both of them work in the U.S., right?
They both do. And I think it's a big point of contention between people, whether they say caramel or caramel. And I think it's just what you grow up with.
Yeah. So maybe even someone in California would say caramel.
Yeah. Neither are wrong.
Yeah.
Though I think some people might have strong opinions about whether they think one is right or one is wrong.
Yeah, that seems like an argument that someone would have. So let's talk about Halloween night as a kid. What did you do as a kid?
We would be so anxious all day. Mm-hmm. When you're really young, there would be events at school. So you'd dress up, you'd wear your costume. I went to a private school and we wore uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
So on Halloween, they would let us wear our costumes to school, which was very exciting when you're young and you don't have to wear your, you know, uncomfortable school uniform and you get to dress up as something you want to be. And there would sometimes be little parades at school or like the teachers would do fun activities.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd want to race home and you couldn't wait. We always had to wait until it started to get dark.
Go directly trick-or-treating, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was the same thing. I remember eating dinner very early and waiting for it to get dark outside because it was at sunset where we start to get really antsy.
It would always come down to like the day before or the day of, and we had this big chest in our house that was filled with just funny clothes and like it had my aunt's old prom dress in there, different costumes that we had for plays at school, and just any sort of weird thing we came across went into this chest.
And so you threw your costumes together.
Every year.
You weren't like stoked about it months in advance.
It would be this wild panic on like the day before Halloween to pick out a costume, and we'd be running all over the house using my mom's jewelry or like lipstick to make it look like blood or.
So do you remember any of your costumes?
I remember one year I took my soccer, my football for everybody else in the world, soccer for us, uniform. And I put that on and we went to the store and bought fake blood, put it all over me. So I was a zombie soccer player.
Yeah.
My mom was a nurse. So I remember my sister wearing her nurse's like jacket and scrubs, the uniform of nurses, and put that on. And she had to tie the side to make them fit because she was little.
Was she also a zombie nurse?
I wasn't a zombie nurse. I think I was the only one who used the fake blood that year. There were a couple of costumes that we had bought. I was a Barbie 1 year when I was in kindergarten, and then a bunny rabbit when I was in preschool.
Cute. Yeah, I think so. Little kids are pretty innocent, you know, the ballerina costume. Maybe they might dress up as a princess. They might dress up as a pumpkin. You see a lot of babies that are pumpkins.
Because they're nice and round.
Yeah. Bees also, or little ladybugs. Oh. Like yesterday, my daughter wore a little bee outfit that was incredibly gaudy. But she chose it herself in the store. It was not my choice.
She ended up covered in glitter.
I know. She probably ate it all. But yeah, I'll post pictures of that on Instagram so you guys can see at American English Podcast if you're listening. And then little boys?
I feel like they tend to be like superheroes or superheroes of our normal world, like firefighters and policemen. Or they'll be something where they can have a sword. Like a pirate. Yeah,
for sure. Or a light stick.
Yes. Something from Star Wars.
For sure. Yeah. I think that will just be passed down generation to generation. Oh, yeah. Everyone dressing up as Jedis.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then finally, we would get the okay from our parents once it started to get a little bit dark to go trick-or-treating. And so one of my parents would take my sister and I. The other one would stay at the house and give out candy.
Mm-hmm. Give out or pass out candy.
Yes. Uh-huh. And you go house to house.
Mm-hmm. So trick-or-treating is when you walk up to the front door of someone's house and you say trick-or-treat, and in return, you get candy.
Usually candy.
Usually candy. I think it's a little bit of a faux pas nowadays to give someone a baked treat. A lot of parents are very concerned about their kids being poisoned by having homemade goods.
There is an urban legend.
That there's needles inside of the food.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the last time I went trick-or-treating, I was maybe 13, 12. And that's kind of the limits, I think. When was the last time you went trick-or-treating?
I specifically remember the last time was when some people commented that I was too old to go trick-or-treating. But I was still trying to push it for the free candy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like I was at a disadvantage because I was always very tall. And so I looked older than I was. Like, no, I swear I'm still 10. I'm just like almost 6 feet tall. Like, please, I need some candy.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah. I don't know if you did this, but between my sister and I don't know, between you and your brother, at the end of the night, after we had gone trick-or-treating, we would dump out our pillowcases that we used to collect the candy, and we would trade the candies that we liked, because she liked the chocolates and I liked the fruit flavored stuff. And so we'd go one for one.
Oh yeah, we would do that too, but neither of us liked the fruit flavored stuff. Wait, what? So what were your favorite Halloween candies?
Starburst.
Oh, Skittles. No. Starburst and Skittles.
Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, Liz. I wish you'd been my sister. We could have traded everything.
What were your
favorites? I mean, Reese's. You know, the peanut butter and chocolate.
You say Reese's and not Reese's?
Reese's. Okay. I liked 100 Grand, which is for the little crispies inside and the caramel. And Kit Kats. Butterfingers. Oh, my God. I loved Butterfingers. Mm. Yeah. So everything chocolate. Yeah. You had
opposite.
Okay.
Yeah. It made it very easy to trade our candy.
Yeah. I remember the pillowcases though. That was something, you know, everybody had a pillowcase that planned on getting a lot of candy.
If you lived in a neighborhood that gave out a lot of candy, or there were a lot of people trick or treating, the more you got.
Right.
But I feel like we moved when I was in fifth grade. And there weren't a lot of kids in my neighborhood, so I'd go trick-or-treating, but a lot of the houses didn't answer, so I had to play some tricks.
Really?
No, but there were less people, but the people who did give candy, they gave big candies, like full-size.
Full candy bars.
Yeah. So quantity versus quality.
Right. It's kind of fun how they say fun size on the small candy bars, and you think, really, is this fun? Like, this is really small.
Yeah. What is this fun this for?
I want the family size.
Yes.
But yeah, that's true. Actually, I remember when this is probably too much in the direction of talking about candy and giving stuff out for Halloween, but I remember actually in Santa Barbara, people talking about Oprah. Because Santa Barbara is very close to
Montecito,
and Montecito is where a lot of the very rich and famous Americans live. That's where Neverland Ranch was for Michael Jackson, where
Oprah Winfrey,
Ellen DeGeneres, a lot of very wealthy people live there. And they were saying at the time that if you went to Oprah's house, she was handing out iPhones and candy bars. So
it's definitely an urban legend.
I don't know.
Do you think it's true?
Would you watch her show? She gives away like islands and cars and stuff.
But
I wouldn't doubt it.
To 2-year-olds? Maybe. She does have the money for it.
So you mentioned actually trick. Okay, so trick or treat, right? Treat being the sweet. And you mentioned some people do tricks. So what's an example of playing a prank? Like if you played a prank on someone, what might you do?
Maybe you switch like the contents of the salt shaker from salt to sugar and watches somebody's face freaks out as they take a bite of sugared chicken.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But so, a big one for Halloween, I feel like, was always if you forgot to take your jack-o'-lantern in from the porch, like high school age kids would come around at night and they would take the pumpkins and smash them into the street.
Exactly.
That was the next morning you would see through a normal residential neighborhood all sorts of smashed pumpkins.
Right. Hoodlums.
Hoodlums. another big one is toilet papering somebody's house.
Oh, yeah. Teepee.
Yes. Teepeeing. Do you want to explain?
Yeah. Teepeeing. So TP stands for toilet paper. And when you TP someone's house, it means you throw toilet paper on it. So that's another thing that you do at Halloween. Yeah. You play a prank on someone. And you throw toilet paper on their house. You teepee their house.
All over. Through the trees, the branches. You get it on the roof.
And it's great when it's a night that it rains. Because Halloween is one of those days it can either rain. It can either be hot. It's between the seasons. It's during the harvest season. So beginning of fall. And so you never know. If it starts raining, then they have pieces of toilet paper all over the lawn. It makes it impossible to clean up.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's playing pranks. So there's all this different types of culture involved in Halloween. You know, the pumpkin patches. We talked about the different scary movies that you can watch up to Halloween or even on Halloween night. Nowadays, since I'm older, I'm passing out Halloween candy. Have you passed out Halloween candy yet?
Yes. Okay.
And do you get excited to look at the little costumes and little kids?
It's very cute.
Yeah.
Some of these kids and the parents get very creative. Sometimes the whole family dresses up.
Yeah.
It's cute.
In Halloween, did you go to any haunted houses or theme parks?
So when I stopped trick-or-treating, so starting in high school, it was really popular where I was. We had a theme park called Knott's Berry Farm.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, and they have a big Halloween celebration. At the theme park, they would close early and then reopen at night and they would change the rides into mazes and haunted houses. There would be a theme, maybe zombies. So then zombies would jump out at you as you're walking through these mazes.
Right.
And people would chase you around the park as well.
With like fake knives.
Yes. And fake chainsaws. They would take the chain off of them so they couldn't hurt you or the blade out, but it would still make the noise. And then they would put it on the ground and it would like thunder.
Right.
And it was so scary. And anywhere you went, they would jump out of places. Right. And
so this is sort of like a high school thing to go to, right? I mean, kids that are able to handle the fear of being around some of these frightening
characters. And it was also big culturally because it was the first time, at least for me, where my parents were letting me out after
a specific hour, right? You could go out past curfew.
Maybe meet some cute boys.
Yeah, dressed up as zombies.
Yes. And that was very popular where I grew up. Did you go to haunted houses?
You know what? Actually, I think when I think of haunted houses, I also think about theme parks because Actually, there was a haunted house at the pumpkin patch near my house where I grew up at Larry's Produce, but it was very small, you know, so okay. someone, I mean, the places that had the money to put on a really big haunted house mm-hmm. with multiple rooms and, you know, tons of characters, like live action characters, I think those ones, they needed more funding and you needed to pay to get into them. So I think they do exist on their own, but mostly at the theme parks is where I would see them. And I did go to a few of those scary nights, the haunted nights. Liz and I both went to UC Santa Barbara.
Which is very well known for their huge Halloween celebration.
I think the population must have, I mean, tripled.
Tripled, at least.
Yeah. Isla Vista, the town where most of the students lived, just becomes overwhelmingly packed with people dressed up in different costumes.
On a normal weekend night, you have 20,000 college-age kids living in this small area of like...
1 square mile.
Yes, one square mile. Tiny area, tons of apartment buildings on the beach. Mm. So people just walk on the streets back and forth between parties and people's houses. And that's just a normal night. But Halloween, when you're college age and, you know, maybe starting in high school, depending on who you are, it becomes very popular to go out drinking and to go to different parties. Mm-hmm. So add that together with a place like Isla Vista that already has a party culture, and it just blows up.
Even if you're not throwing a party, you look around and you have like 30 people you don't know inside your apartment.
Yes. Yeah. And there's nowhere to park. Everybody is dressed crazy.
Yeah. Do you remember any of the costumes?
When we were there, one that I saw a lot, it was right after the Olympics in 2008, I guess it was. The Beijing Olympics, when Michael Phelps had won all of his gold medals. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of guys dressed up in a little Speedo with like 8 makeshift medals hanging around their necks. And it was their way of being a little scandalous when normally the girls dress up in small costumes.
Yes. Tiny costumes.
Can you remember
for little
any?
Babies. I actually remember two. Actually, I remember quite a bit of like really awesome costumes. One of them I remember was really popular was the iPhone, where people would dress up as a giant iPhone and just with their eyeballs sticking out. Play on the word eye. There was also, I remember, Rub-A-Dub-Dub, Three Men in a Tub, like where three grown men standing behind each other. They weren't wearing tops. You could just see their legs and then a bathtub around their middle section with shower caps on and then rubbing each other's back while walking down the street. And Rub-A-Dub-Dub, Three Men in a Tub. I mean, it's a nursery rhyme, right?
Yes.
Peter Pan. I remember Peter Pan running down the street, but then Peter Pan had a shadow. And so his friend was dressed entirely in black as his shadow, but copying him while running down the street.
That's a good one.
It's a good one.
So that shows you can be anything.
Anything.
Halloween.
Yeah. You can get very creative.
I remember people being the ID card, the student ID card, and like would use cardboard and then just have their face where your face would be on the card. That was a big one.
That's funny. And I remember actually Nadia was the Berlin Wall. Which was very inconvenient to walk through the crowds on the street, being the Berlin Wall. It was broken. The wall came down by the end of the night, that's for sure.
You definitely see the next morning just pieces of random costumes and
everything.
You don't even know, just left in the street from the masses of people walking through.
Yeah. So any plans for this year for Halloween?
I think this year for Halloween, I'll go to some friend's house and wear my singular Halloween costume.
Which is
what? Spaghetti and meatballs.
You have spaghetti and meatballs costume? How come I haven't seen this?
It is my singular Halloween costume.
For the rest of your life, that is what you're going to be? That's kind of what adults do, right?
Yes.
I mean, at a certain age, you just go, okay, I'm not going to be creative anymore. I'm going to pass out Halloween candy, but I will be the same costume every single year.
Yes. So that's the plan. Just spend some time with friends. Probably watch a movie.
Eat some caramel apples.
Yes.
Binge on candy.
and watch some spooky movies.
Yeah, sounds good.
What about you?
I'm going to pass out candy for sure. I might dress up this year. I might have to go to the store to buy a costume, but I'm looking forward to it. Another Halloween in the books. Thank you for talking to me today on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I loved hearing about your Halloween experiences. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Happy Halloween to all your listeners.
Happy Halloween, everyone. All right. Well, go ahead to my Instagram page if you're interested in seeing some pictures of Liz Johnson as a kid in her Halloween costumes. It'll be very cute. You can access that at American English Podcast. Check it out. And until next time, bye.
Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. If you don't, I don't care. I'll pull down your underwear.